I come to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Good morning, beloved church. I am Father Preston Gonzalez Grissom, and I am the new Assistant Priest for Children and Family Ministry. There are many ways that I could introduce myself to you this morning, but I'd like to start by telling you some of the people who have made me. I am the son of Carrie and Taylor, the grandson of a preschool teacher, an accountant, a judge, and a beer truck delivery driver. And I have been more blessed by wonderful mentors than I deserve. One of those mentors was my seminary professor and priest. She was diagnosed with cancer during my time there. And she boldly shared her stories about navigating this wilderness of a difficult diagnosis and the uncertainty of her own future. She helped me understand what it meant to live in the midst of the dark night of the soul. This phrase, the dark night of the soul, was coined by St. John of the Cross, and it is often misunderstood. Many think of it as a season just of sadness or maybe depression, or perhaps a time when we cannot exactly feel God's presence the way we used to. But the dark night of the soul is when we cannot see what is directly in front of us, when we are so disoriented that we do not know what is coming next. In the Bible, this experience is exemplified most acutely by the wilderness. John the Baptist, who makes an appearance in this morning's gospel reading, lives his entire adult life in the wilderness, in the desert, unsure of when Jesus is going to come. In our Old Testament reading, Noah and his family emerge from the ark after months of not knowing when the rain will stop. The wilderness is where we find ourselves when we do not know what will happen next and we feel out of control. Do you know what this is like? Of course you do. We all have seasons in our lives that remind us that we are not as in control as we thought. We live in a fallacy which says that if we are well educated enough or have enough money, if we are moral enough or make just exactly the right choices, we can be in complete control of our lives. Many of us, myself included, do actually have a lot of control over what happens next. But sooner or later, the wilderness comes for us all. It is just part of being a human. We do not know if the school we want to attend will accept our application. We do not know that our health will hold up. We do not know what our children's lives will look like in the future, whether we will be remembered for the work we do, or if all of it will just fade into history. The truth is, no matter how hard we push against it, we all must face a future we do not know and often cannot control. At one point or another, it will be our turn to enter into the wilderness. And luckily for us, our lectionary readings know this, and they give us at least two things to do in the wilderness. The first is that they tell us we must learn to see. A fundamental work in the Christian life is learning to see, to perceive what God is doing in the world. In the story of Noah, God says seven times, so we won't miss it, that he will give Noah and all other creatures of the world a visible symbol of his promises, a rainbow. that when they look up and see it, they will remember, no matter how hard the rain has been falling, that there is this beautiful collision of light, that the story is still unfolding. Our New Testament passage mentions the sacrament of baptism, because the sacrament of baptism is like all sacraments. It is a visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace. In our gospel reading, Jesus goes through his own baptism, and the gospel writer John says, "I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove." We must learn to see. This past Wednesday was Ash Wednesday, the first day of Lent, where we had ashes smudged on our foreheads in the form of a cross as a visible reminder that we are not always in control. And we do not always know what is coming next. And although we live in a world trying to hide the fact that we will die, there will come a day. Ash Wednesday and all of Lent really is a time for us to train our eyes to see in the wilderness. And in the midst of the wilderness, we are not just encouraged to learn how to see, but to see our lives within the story of God. In the story of Noah, God makes this covenant, a promise to Noah, but it is really through Noah to the entire world. The covenant God makes with Noah is with Noah, his descendants, and every living creature on earth. God is saying to, but through Noah, that he is not giving up on his creation. No matter how wicked it may become, no matter how hopeless the world may seem, God is not giving up on you. But the story God is telling includes us, but it is also bigger than us. And this rainbow is given as a sign. Interestingly, in Hebrew, there is no word for rainbow as such. It's just bow, as in bow and arrow. So if the rainbow is actually a bow, which way would the arrow be pointing? Up. Ancient readers would have seen this almost immediately. The rainbow given to Noah and his descendants and every living creature is a sign that even though you may find yourself in the wilderness, your future, no matter how difficult, is ultimately not one of destruction. The arrow is not pointing at you. It has been thrust into Jesus's side, and the waters which could overwhelm us now are poured from his body and have become for us the waters of life. This is our story. That we may find ourselves in the wilderness, unsure of the next chapter, but positively certain of the ending. My dear professor's story does not go the way that we would hope. At her funeral, I found myself on the left side of the church pew, filled with other fellow mourners. And after the last song entitled, "He Will Raise Us Up on the Last Day," we streamed out of the chapel, still disoriented and confused. And as I'm walking to my car, I look up and I see a rainbow. The moment was almost too cliche if it were not actually true. And I looked to my right and I locked eyes with my dear professor's husband, now widower. And he looked at me and he cried out, "Do you see that? She loved rainbows." And at that moment, I remembered a phrase that my professor used to say, that in the Christian tradition, life is not ended, it is changed. Friends, her story is not over. Neither is yours, and neither is God's. And the tears which now blur our eyes from seeing clearly will be wiped away, and we will see him face to face. Beloved, I know that you have so many stories to tell. Some take place in paradise and some in the wilderness, and I'm so glad we now get to carry them together. Thanks be to God.